There will be days that are good, and there will be days that overwhelm you, when all you can do is be sad and cry, when the pain of what you hoped for but don't have rises up and holds your chest as if in a grip of impossibility meeting truth, and you can literally taste the sadness like vinegar on your tongue. There will be days. But if you learn to breathe, let the air fill up your lungs, cleansing. When the pain comes, you breathe and let your awareness open up to all that is around you. Catch the beauty of a butterfly in motion and your mind refocuses, not on the pain, but on the million possibilities. And then those bad days turn into bad hours and then bad minutes until finally they stop coming for a season.
Welcome to the Iconic Womanhood Podcast, where we celebrate and learn from the wisdom of authentic, brilliant, conscious, and creative women from all around the world. This podcast will leave you inspired, empowered, and equipped to become truly iconic. And now, here is your host, Akenna. She is a transformational coach and speaker.
I have to tell you the truth. In the last few days, I felt weary. I felt tired. In fact, the last couple of days, I've had to physically sleep more, like take naps in the afternoon. Because, well, grief. I felt tired from the inequities and the injustices, the way we treat the poor, as I watch the world respond to this crisis. I felt tired watching the people pushed together, risking more spread of disease in my home country of Nigeria. But knowing also that for many of the people in these groups, in these throngs of people, they are in the grip of a desperation such as I've never felt before. I was tired. I was deeply tired because of Ahmaud Arbery, a young black man who was jogging here in Georgia and was literally hunted down and killed for no other reason than because he was a black man around racists. Racists who had guns and who felt perfectly entitled to ending his life. Perhaps if you look at the history of that ground that they were on, some time ago, maybe 100 years, maybe more, some ancestor of his was murdered or lynched on that same ground, in that same space. It made me tired and weary. And I'm sure it's making you tired and weary and angry. And your heart may be set on fire, set ablaze, and not the kind of fire that rises up within you when your soul is connected, but just a wounding when you encounter evil. I was tired. I was tired. But I had to grieve. And I had to sit with the pain. I needed to understand the depth of it, and I wanted to pray through it. Yesterday I cried out to God and I asked for discernment and understanding and wisdom like never before, to understand what my role was to be and to have the courage to rise up to it, whatever it would look like. And I pray the same for you. And for those of you that are called to leadership, that are having an emotional reaction to everything happening around you, I want you to understand that it is perfectly normal. And it does not make you less qualified to lead. In fact, it makes you more qualified to lead. The Reverend Dr. Nichelle Guidry, who was on my podcast and also one of the women in the very first cohort of my mastermind, wrote a book that I quite love. It's a book that's directed to preachers, but I think it's important for all leaders. And she writes in it, how can you be an emotionally healthy preacher if you don't know how to sit with your pain long enough to figure out why it's there and what it has come to teach you? I think about that phrase often, that paragraph often, because she's speaking to my soul. There was a season some time ago when I was in quite some pain, and I was talking to some friends and I was grieving something, and each of them offered prescriptive advice to try and get me out of that state. Meditate more, exercise, pray. All of those things are good. And I told them that I was already doing those things, but I also knew that that particular grief, that particular pain, I needed to let it come. I needed to allow it to be felt fully, and I did. There are nights that I wept. Some nights I wished things could be different, and other nights I came to a place of acceptance and growth. Like Jesus, the night he was in the garden, crying out, Lord, this cup is heavy, and if it's possible, can it be taken away from me? But ultimately, not my will, but yours be done. Right now, you might be feeling like the cup is heavy. I hear so much anger, and it is perfectly justified. Of course you are angry. Of course I am angry. Underneath the anger is grief and pain and the sadness and sorrow. And if we stay only in the place of anger, we will not be able to let the pain fully come, the pain that will deepen our souls and transform us. So many of us as human beings are afraid of grief. We're afraid of pain. We do anything to escape it. The whole industry is based on that. Some of us fear that if we start to cry, we may literally cry a river, the kind of river that floods a life. So we hold back, we press on, we stay in anger, and we let that anger fuel us to push through. And so anger has its value, but we need to also allow the fullness of the pain to come, and this will allow us to connect to the possibility of powerful transmutation. From pain into purpose, from despair into destiny. I've cried during the night and found new mercies in the morning. I've learned how to become a conscious alchemist and use pain as source material for transformation. I have stopped being afraid of pain. Yesterday I was in pain. Today again I am confronted with the same inequities, the same brutalities, the same brokenness in our society that causes us to rise one against the other, man against man, simply because our skin is different. But over the years, pain has taught me, it has deepened me, it has broken me open and made me new. And so I recognize that even this pain must break me open and something new must come forth. And perhaps this is the change that the world needs for us to be broken open. I pray that not just us, people of color, but our allies. Let our hearts be broken open like never before. Let our hearts break for what breaks yours, Lord. Let things change finally. And right now you might be feeling powerless and impotent, as if your prayers have no value. You might be feeling weak. You might be feeling as if you are in a valley surrounded by dry bones, and you are asking, like the prophet once asked, can these dry bones live? Can they live? Yes, they can. I want to encourage you to get connected to whatever pain you might be feeling, wherever you are as you listen to this, because I know that you're in different parts of the world. And as a result, your pain points might be different. Tap into them. Pain will not kill you, as it did not kill me. But when you deny your pain, when you refuse to grieve, when you keep it bottled up, it either explodes or, worse, leaks out like toxic chemicals over time into the groundwater of your soul. And that turns you toxic. Today, I want to invite you to embrace your grief. Let the pain flow over and away from you. As we speak the names of those who have been taken from us for no good reason, as we see the images of the poor being forced into untenable situations, as we consider the actions of our leaders who sometimes seem to value economics over people, embrace your grief. Here's an exercise that you may find valuable. If you can go outside, this is very powerful. It's called grounding. And you take your shoes off and you stand on the actual ground, the actual soil, if you have it. If you have grass right there, barefoot. And feel the ground beneath you. If you're outside, feel the air around you. Breathe in and breathe out and see the world around you. This is real. This is real too. There have been studies that have been shown now. We understand that grounding is a technique that reduces stress, creates mindfulness, which is what you do when you're looking around, when you're connecting to all the real things that your eyes and your senses are taking in. But there's also something to do with the electromagnetic force that changes you, that is healthy for you. So grounding is powerful. I remember growing up in Nigeria, very often we were barefoot. Not because we didn't have shoes, but because it was just our preferred state of being. And I often connect that understanding of grounding and now forest bathing, which is the practice of simply walking in the woods into the forest where there are trees. The green of the trees is very healing for your body. Of course, you can see why, because the trees are releasing the purest oxygen and you're taking it in and it's healing you. I think about why all of these things that we in the Western world are beginning to recognize as valuable are things that were standard. They're just normal things that are done in less urban places. But as we have urbanized and become harder and more concrete, we've lost the practices that keep us healthy and whole. And we've lost parts of ourselves. We must reclaim them. The other thing I'd like to invite you to do as you embrace your grief is recognize that downtime can be a productivity tool. You might need to nap. You might need to cancel a call. You might need to talk to your team members and say that I'm about to drop this ball. If someone can pick it up, that's great. But right now, something's got to give. It ain't finna be me. You want to rest your body. Be gentle with yourself. You also want to rest your mind as much as possible. This is a time when meditation and quiet time will be very helpful for you. You want to rest your heart. and the anger comes forth, write it out. Journal it out. Get it out of your heart. You want to rest your soul. Get in the presence of the Lord as much as possible. Stay in a place of prayer. I want to point out something about journaling again. Research shows that writing down your emotionally charged experiences actually helps with well-being, productivity, and emotional health. So here's a suggestion. Set a timer for about 20 minutes, especially if you're struggling. Open up your notebook or your journal, and when the timer starts, begin to write about all of your emotional experiences. Don't worry about punctuation. Don't worry about making it perfect. Simply go where your mind takes you. Write just for yourself. Write freely. And then release it. If you're writing about anger or frustration or something sad, then release that. You don't have to go back to it. You're getting it out of your body. So if you typed it on your computer, close the document without saving it. If you wrote it on a piece of paper, throw the paper away, pour water over it, light it on fire in a safe way. Or if you find that as you wrote about it, you had enough distance to actually write from a perspective that would have value, perhaps this may very well be the beginning of a book. And that particular exercise of writing for 20 minutes, I have to give credit to Pen and Baker's writing rules for that. I want to share with you some scripture that I find healing during seasons like this. Psalm 23, verse 3 says, "He restores my soul, and he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." As you listen to this, I pray that you are healed and restored emotionally. I pray that you are restored and that you never return back to any path or experience that led you to your brokenness in the first place. Right now, I'd like to share with you Romans 8, verse 28 as well. And it says, "As we know, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose." It is hard sometimes to see this verse in this season and ask, where is the purpose in this? How is this working together? Well, we see just a little bit, but darkly. And so we pray God's protection and mercy upon us and our loved ones. And we pray that whatever we have experienced, every mistake, every misstep, every act of willfulness or rebellion, that though they may have their consequences, that we would still step into a world where our message is our message and our testimony will be an encouragement to others. I'd like to share with you Psalm 34, verse 18, that says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and save the crushed in spirit." And Psalm 147 says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." I know that you might be hurting right now. I'm hurting right now. And this is not to take the place of a call to action for justice. Because believe me, we must pursue justice. It's unacceptable and cannot continue to happen. But even as we consider justice, even as we speak about what needs to change, let us also remember that we must be healed. We must be healed. And so as you think about those Psalms, I pray that right now you begin to feel God's presence in your life, that you begin to feel and see the manifestation of his love for you. And if you feel brokenhearted or weary or crushed in any area of life, I pray that you are restored and healed, that you see the scars and wounds that you have as healed, that you receive the healing of God. And if someone has hurt you, may you receive the grace of God and release them now from your consciousness. I do want to point out that we pray for justice and we seek it. That this is not about becoming passive. This is not about making you docile. This is so that you can heal, so that you can then deal. Because if you don't heal what's happening inside of you, every solution will come out of a place of fear and anger. But the best solutions must come out of a place of peace. Justice must prevail in the world that we are creating. And we will take our role in that as we heal, as we grow. Do not think that doing your own work is not helpful in this season. It is powerful in this season. And I want to close again with a word from Nichelle. She asks a question in her book. Has it ever occurred to you that there is enough grace and power over your life to speak to the people and to yourself? What we are doing here, acknowledging your grief, acknowledging your pain, and charting a path to your healing, is critical, because you cannot give what you do not have. But once you are filled up, once you are healed up, you can help others. So I encourage you to take the time you need to grieve, to feel the pain, to embrace it, to deal with it, so that it cannot deal with you. And then rise into your calling. Rise into the woman you are called to be. Rise into your place of leadership. Rise into your place of influence. Rise, because we need heart-centered people in leadership to create accountability systems, to create justice systems, to call things to order. We need you. We need you. And so this is my call to action to you. I've been honest and transparent with you. It's been a hard few days. And I watched just the snippet of the video. I didn't see the whole video of Ahmaud Arbery. I can't describe what happened to me, especially because there have been so many. But I am still encouraged. Once the grief subsided, I became aware of possibilities and power that I had, and I will use everything at my disposal to be a voice and an instrument of change in this world. And I pray you will too. God bless you. Be well.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Be sure to subscribe and tell a friend. If you're listening to this show, it probably means you are ready to move from success into significance. Please visit us at iconicwomanhood.com and get a free gift to help you on your journey.